Cedric Adams says,
I'll never forget.
Memory, memory.
Peter's Meat Products and their 3,000 dealers present the Four Balladaires, Wally Olson at the orchestra, Sally Foster, Tony Grisey, and the man who says, I'll never forget, your host for the next half hour, Cedric Adams.
My beautiful man.
I'll never forget our first experiments with a radio set and the thrill of actually hearing music come through the earphones of the receiver. America became radio conscious in 1922, and all over the land, little family groups spent evening hours tuning in static blurred programs. Remember what a problem static used to be? We seldom hear of it anymore. Many a perplexed husband eyed his wife with new interest or dismay back in 1922, too, as she came home from the hairdressing shop with shorn locks. Bobbed hair arrived to stay that spring, but even the hairdressers were afraid to admit it. One of the bolder members of the profession predicted that it might last through the summer anyway, but he didn't consider the short, almost mannish haircut of the season any more than a fad. There was a new look on the faces of the women of America that year, too. The cosmetic business was born in 1922, and with it, the advent of the beautician. American girls enthusiastically learned to paint and powder, to cream and pluck and dye. More and more women were going to work. Remember the furious discussions pro and con as to whether married women had a right to take jobs? From Shanghai in 1922 came a parlor game that was to sweep the country. Mahjong was imported by a San Francisco lumberman, and it became so popular that before the year was out, a Mahjong League of America was formed. The Lincoln Memorial in Washington was dedicated in 22 and was called the most beautiful edifice in America. Sports were becoming big business. Football and baseball, even horse racing, came into their own. 1922 was the year that the famed Four Horsemen of Notre Dame were in the sports headlines as they made gridiron history. In Tin Pan Alley, song pluggers were turning ragtime into jazz. And some of the songs that came out that year are still popular, more than a quarter of a century later. We like the way Sally Foster sings one of the hits of 22 called Carolina in the Morning. Sally, let's hear that one now, shall we?
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. No one could be sweeter than my sweetie when I meet her in the morning. When the morning glory right around the door, whispering pretty stories, I long to hear once more. Strolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawn. If I had Aladdin's lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish and here's what I'd say. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning. Strolling with my girlie where the dew is pearly early in the morning. Butterflies all flutter up and kiss each little buttercup at dawning. If I had Aladdin's lamp for only a day, I'd make a wish and here's what I'd say. Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina in the morning.
To anyone who knew a soldier overseas, the biggest news of that year was the arrival from France of boatloads of victorious Yanks. In every small town, big town, triumphal parades were staged. The famous Sergeant York came home that year. Some of the doughboys got together in Paris before they left and formed the American Legion. Later on that year, the Legion's first convention was held down in St. Louis. As in these post-World War II years, Most of the attention of the nation in 1919 was turned to prices and to peace terms. And then, as now, peace conferences were held in Paris and attended by President Wilson. Prices zoomed skyward in the post-war prosperity. Strikes began in the country's major industries. Short skirts, a daring 6 inches off the ground, and in some circles, the gigolo made timid social beginnings. In Toledo, Jack Dempsey became a national hero when he won the championship from Jess Willard. 1919 was a year of visiting royalty, too. Socialites got out their best bib and tucker, and writers of news features prepared for a heyday as England's Prince of Wales and Belgium's King and Queen toured the United States. A team of aviators named Alcock and Brown made the first successful Atlantic flight, which ended in a somewhat unspectacular manner when their plane got stuck in the mud in the bogs of Ireland. Henry Ford received a share of publicity back in 1919, but not for any automobile production. He charged the Chicago Tribune with libeling him an anarchist and sued for $1 million. After a tedious 4 months of courtroom hearings and 9 ballotings by the jury, Henry Ford was awarded 6 cents damages and costs. One of the tunes that was hummed by homecoming Yanks back in 1919 was revived for the GIs not long ago. The Balladaires are going to sing it tonight. It's called I'll Be With You in Apple Blossom Time.
I'll be with you in apple blossom time.
I'll be with you to change your name to mine.
One day in May, I'll come and say, happy the bride, the sun shines on today. What a wonderful wedding there will be,
a wedding,
what a wonderful day for you and me. Church bells will chime, you will be mine in apple blossom.
I certainly missed the boat last week. I plan to suggest that you serve Peter's new roasted porkette sometime over the holiday weekend, but I forgot all about it. Well, just the same, I'll bet a lot of you served them anyway. It'd be fun to know how many of you tried out Peter's new porkettes at a picnic. They really work out fine, you know, roasting them over a campfire. Or maybe you served them when that unexpected holiday company arrived. Maybe you surprised them with a delightful luncheon or Peter's porkettes and potato salad. Or porkettes with scrambled eggs or waffles. If you did, I can well imagine how pleased your guests were, because Peter's porkettes really hit the spot. That ham flavor is so nourishing, so satisfying. Peter's new porkettes make any luncheon a luncheon you'll never forget. If not before, serve them this coming weekend for sure. Peter's new roasted porkettes, pre-cooked, hickory smoked, so economical. As large after you fry them as when you buy them. You shouldn't have any trouble finding them either, because 3,000 dealers sell the new porkettes. 3,000 quality dealers who recognize your demand for the best. I'll never forget 1933. Somebody wrote a song called Brother, Can You Spare a Dime? And it pretty well echoed the sentiments of a third of our nation. That was the never-to-be-forgotten year when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was inaugurated president for the first time. And a scant 10 days later had the first of his now famous fireside chats with the people of America. With the bank holiday in March, notices like this appeared in store windows and box offices around the country. We have confidence in the America and its people. We will take your check dated 3 months in advance. Everybody had an idea for ending the Depression in those days. During the first months of his administration, the mails were jammed with letters to President Roosevelt in the White House, with suggestions for getting America back on its feet. A Minneapolis Tribune writer believed that in 1933 we stood on the threshold of one of the major changes in human life. Adolf Hitler was on his way up in 33, and pictures of saluting Nazi armies were becoming familiar in the newspapers. 1933 had its lighter side, however. A circus midget made undignified history when placed on J.P. Morgan's lap at a Senate Banking Committee hearing. Mae West set a new style in feminine pulchritude, and certainly a new style in social invitations in her film, She Done Him Wrong. In St. Paul, the city and state championship kitten ball team, Peter Sausage of St. Paul, handed the veteran Ewald Creamery team of Minneapolis one of the worst defeats ever suffered by a senior Minneapolis team, with 6,500 looking on at Dunning Field. The Peters team came out with a 15-3 victory. One of the largest ransoms ever paid in the nation was handed over in St. Paul that year, too. William Hamm Jr. was kidnapped and kept police busy for months questioning suspects. Women were looking prettier than they had for years, as longer skirts, ruffles and bows and curled hair reappeared. We laughed at the Baron Munchausen and his Was You There, Charlie. We waded doggedly through the 1,244 pages of Anthony Adverse, required summer reading for 33. Hollywood tried out a new formula for motion picture entertainment, and the resulting film, 42nd Street, started a vogue for musical movies that's still popular. Crooners in 33 liked the torch songs, like Prisoner of Love and Temptation. And the ballad new that year that Tony Grisey is going to croon, Don't Blame Me.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you. I'm under your spell, but how can I help it? Don't blame me. Can't you see? When you do the things you do, if I can't conceal the thrill that I'm feeling, don't blame me. I can't help it if that shotgun moon up above makes me wish someone like you to love. Lay your melt in my heart, but don't blame me.
Everybody in general, and Arthur Godfrey in particular, is talking about the return of vaudeville. Let's get back to the days when vaudeville was in flower. I'll never forget the old Orpheum Theater on 7th Street. 5 to 7 acts of the nation's finest performers. It wasn't at all unusual to see the downstairs filled with men wearing white ties and tails, women in evening gowns, all dressed up for vaudeville. The more attentive swain used to get a yard of Smith's chocolates or bonbons. Imagine sitting in a theater holding a box of candy a yard long. The opening act was usually a juggler or an acrobatic troupe, and then came a song and dance team. Those performers always wore straw hats and carried black ebony canes. The middle act was usually a one-act playlet or sketch, and then came the comedian and finally the star. Burlesque fed vaudeville, and a roster of who was who in vaudeville will include such names as Fritzy Chef, Eva Tangway, Singer's Midget, Powers Elephant, Ted Healy, Phil Baker, Fred Allen and Company, Bert Lahr and Mercedes, Lady Alice's Cats and Rats, Jack Benny, Van and Skink. Well, everybody has wondered since then what killed vaudeville. It was probably vaudeville itself. Talking pictures and radio bounced to the front. People's tastes changed. The cornball stuff of the vaudeville circuit no longer captured the popular fancy. But your television reviews today have gone back to the old and the familiar technique of the vaudeville stage. So maybe the very factors that killed vaudeville will serve to bring it back. We're talking about an era now that began along about 1909. So let's revive a tune from that period. If you were alive when vaudeville was, you'll remember Meet Me Tonight in Dreamland. Sally Foster issues the invitation.